I wanted to go to the Northern Territory because we've had the Prime Minister. He returned to Alice Springs 15 months after his previous visit. He met with the Mayor, Matt Patterson, as well as local councillors and community members. Now, of course, we know what the ongoing saga has been in Alice Springs. We know that there's been a curfew between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. Keen to know how that worked, where we're going with all of this. When we hear announcements of money, and there were announcements of money today, and I'll talk to my next guest about this as well, because when we hear, oh, there's extra tens of millions here or there, it's always good to qualify exactly what that money's for. Because, say, for instance, we'll talk about domestic violence shortly. If you're saying we're announcing all this money, well, you need to know where it's going. A refuge, for instance, has to pay electricity bills, has to pay staff, has to pay their water bills, their rates, whatever they might be, to keep open. They've got to buy clothes and they've got to clean all of the stuff so people can find a safe haven. If there's no money to do that, there's no safe haven for people fleeing from domestic violence. It's simple. The same would apply, for instance, with looking at finding safe places for young people who aren't safe at home. I assume that's one of the stories they're dealing with in the Northern Territory, in Alice Springs in particular. Let's go to the Mayor, who's had a very busy day, but he's given us some time this evening. Matt Patterson, good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
How do you feel, just being blunt about it, the national media sort of throws his attention back on you, but then you keep moving on and you notice we turn away. It's a bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I think that obviously we wanted people in Australia to understand the issues that we face, because we certainly need to talk about it. But, you know, obviously there's going to be lots of media when the Prime Minister goes anywhere, and, you know, we welcome his visit. I think that it's good to see people coming to Alice Springs before they go back to Canberra and make decisions about what's better for us. But, look, the Prime Minister came here and listened to a range of stakeholders, so it's certainly welcomed.
So what did you say to him? What was the priority that you put to him in terms of what you think needs to be done?
Yeah, look, I put five points, key points, to the Prime Minister last night, and I mean, I've spoken about these things till I was blue in the face. One is police resourcing. We needed more police. I know that it's not a long-term measure, but it's certainly got to get us through the short term.
Yep.
Two is we need to address the domestic violence, and police are spending 80% of their time dealing with domestic violence, and I know that there's a national conversation going on about domestic violence, and I appreciate that, but, you know, I'll contradict myself and say we wouldn't need all these extra police resources if we could put the ambulance on top of the hill, on top of the cliff, and address the domestic violence. I mean, those two things will go away a long way to fixing those problems. And the third part is addressing a safe place for kids to go to escape domestic violence or, you know, unsafe family situations. A lot of kids are on the street in summertime at nighttime, and, you know, unfortunately, the truth is it's safer for them to be on the street at 2 and 3 in the morning rather than at home because of what goes on at home. And
can I just come in on that before you give us your other points? Because I noticed when the curfew was announced, and I made this point on air, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m, under 18s, if they're found on the streets, will be taken home or to a safe place, and the subtext of that was that their home is not a safe place, and you've just addressed that. That's a really important issue, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I understood that by supporting the curfew, some kids may have, you know, been taken back to their house, but I think that again unpacks the conversation of, you know, why are we putting these kids back into a unsafe environment, and we need to make sure that there's other places for these kids to go if they can't be safe at home.
There's that difficult conversation because this is an Indigenous issue largely, that, of course, you're then making decisions to take them away from their homes. How is that panning out? Because I imagine from the kids' point of view, are they reluctant to go home? Because they're on the streets, aren't they? They don't want to be at home.
Yeah, that's right. They are on the streets. And, you know, we talk about it being an Indigenous issue, and it largely is, but the way that I frame it back is, would you accept the situation if it was happening in Perth or Sydney or Melbourne or Brisbane and they were all 12-year-old girls with blonde hair and blue eyes? What would the conversation be like then? And that's just the reality of we need to have that grown-up conversation as a country.
Yeah. All right. So you need more facilities. So, and I mentioned this earlier, refuges, safe places. They need a building. They need to be powered. They need people there who are supervising. That all costs money, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing that I've been banging on about is that we need to, you know, we need a youth FOIA in Alice Springs. We're the only Northern Territory is the only jurisdiction without a youth FOIA, and they've got incredible success rates around the country. You know, there's a lot of money on the table for Central Australia. It's certainly worth trying, because my point is that it can't get any worse, so let's try it.
Just explain that for us again. Just explain that one.
So a youth FOIA is for 16-year-olds, so it does, you know, it is for a bit older, but what happens is basically a 16 to 24-year-old will sign an agreement to say, I'm either going to school, I'm either going to TAFE, or I'm going to get a job, and then they get that wraparound services that you've just spoke about.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm advocating quite strongly that we need one of these in Alice Springs, because there is a gap for 16 to 24-year-olds, and I think, why not? Why shouldn't we try it? It'll be certainly a well-timed investment into our region.
Yeah. And your other points as well, just because I interrupted there, your other points as well?
Auditing of the social services who are delivering services in Alice Springs. Now, the analogy that I use is, I've got a construction background. And so if the government pays me to build a four-bedroom, two-bathroom house, and I build a two-bedroom, one-bathroom house delivering half the service, I'm not going to get paid by the government.
Yep.
So why are these services getting paid to deliver social outcomes, delivering half the service, yet still getting all the money?
Yep.
Why aren't we holding them accountable?
Yep.
And we just need to peel it back, have the conversation of saying, you're not doing your job, you're not doing your job, you're not doing your job, and hold people accountable, because at the end of the day, they're spending my money, they're spending your money, and they're not delivering an outcome. And quite frankly, it's clear that they're not. In summertime, when we see 200 to 300 kids on the street at any given time.
Yeah. What was the, you put that to the Prime Minister. What was his response to that? Because you were talking, I assume, and he was listening, I'd hope.
Yeah, no, and you know, credit where credit's due, as I said, he came here, we've been used as a political football, so I take my hat off to him. Minister Burney was in the room as well, and look, I would say on face value, they were both quite receptive of that. It's certainly not an I've got you moment to those organisations, but if it was anyone else, you know, we hold everyone else accountable. Mm. Why can't we hold social services accountable? We've got 34 of them in Alice Springs. You know, we're only a town of 25,000. We service maybe 40,000. There's got to be some accountability. And to tie that in, and this is the piece that blows everyone's mind, is the policy at the moment is only giving that money to Aboriginal organisations. Okay, so if the outcome is we want to give it to the Aboriginal organisation and we tick the box, then we're ticking that box. However, I think the outcome should be getting young Aboriginal people into jobs, teaching them life skills, all of those sort of things. Mm. If you look at the Cattlemen's Association in Alice Springs, in the Northern Territory, they do that. They look for kids from community, they sign them up, they ring a station hand, all of these things. Except with the current policy at the moment, they can't access any funding for training or for jobs because they're not an Indigenous organisation. And that policy also needs to change.
Well, logically, yeah. Because as you say, I was about to ask you, my next question was, there must be people in your area doing good work. There must be. So aren't they the ones that need to be held up and said, all right, let's expand them. Let's try and use them as our model.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, there are a lot of businesses that would, you know, want to work with these kids to train them. But obviously, you know, the government can assist and close the loop here. And, you know, I think that there's a few people that have spoken to governments about that. And hopefully they go back to Canberra and can have some good conversations going forward.
All right. Look, I know you've had a meeting today. You're hopeful. So what's the outcome then? So you've laid all this out. They've talked about extra money for a few things as well. But is it going to be ongoing? Are you going to be able to keep pushing this? Are you going to have ongoing dialogue?
Yeah, look, I hope so. I mean, we've got, you know, in Alice Springs, we've got three pretty good, I would say, good advocates for our region. So we've got two senators and our local member.
Yep.
Two senators, a different persuasion. So they all advocate quite strongly. You know, I'm sure that they'll be knocking on the right people's doors to make sure that we don't get forgotten about.
All right. Well, look, I didn't want to. I'm really glad we're able to speak to you tonight because I think you've outlined some of the issues there. So, in the next few days, and there are other issues, but domestic violence, this meeting tomorrow at National Cabinet, it affects you very clearly in terms of strategies there as well. So, thank you for your time tonight. So, you're a builder, that's your background. Got into politics.
I'm a Sparky.
You're a Sparky.
Just a poor Sparky.
But yeah. You're a Sparky, and you've decided to give to your community, and here you are trying to grapple with these really important social issues, and you're probably learning a lot, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I'm learning about it all. I've been in the role for 2.5 years, so yep. I've got about 18 months to go, and we'll see where it takes us from there.
No, good on you, Matt. Thank you for your time tonight, and good luck with it, and let's hope, because you've spoken a lot of, you've given us a lot to think about tonight, so thank you for your time.
Good on you. Thank you.
Matt Patterson there, the Mayor of Alice Springs. See, I actually like the idea that if there are organisations doing a really good job, make sure they're funded. And if there's organisations not doing a good job, well, defund them. So it makes sense. And that's presented a bit of a challenge now to the Prime Minister. And I didn't want to raise the question of what happened last year because he's hoping he's going to get something out of the government. But those conversations could have been had May, June of 2022, instead of saying, oh, we need to get some solutions, so let's put a mechanism in the Constitution and then go through all that exercise last year, and then now here we are 2 years on going, all right, what can we do? Really?